how good it is to have you in our listening audience this morning. I hope and pray that you are enjoying the continuation of the study of a most important subject, the Holy Spirit on the Seeds of Truth, brought to you by the Rivermont Church of Christ that meets at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester. Your speaker is Robert Swain. So far in the past two lessons, I've discussed who is the Holy Spirit, and we found out that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. He is the divine nature. He is called God. We discussed how the Spirit communicates. He communicates with words, words that can be understood, words which impart knowledge and information. And from this we learn that the Holy Spirit does not communicate with man through dreams or hunches or inner feelings or emotional outburst. We discuss what the Holy Spirit has communicated to man, and we learn that it was the Father's revelation which the Spirit gave that contains all things necessary for the salvation of your soul and my soul. We also learn that the Spirit's communication is found in the inspired Word of God, that Word which completely furnished man with everything that is needed for his or her salvation. We also found out that those who claim direct revelation from God in this age are faced with some basic difficulties, that no one has offered to answer how the Holy Spirit could talk to two people and come up with two different messages. Can you explain this for us? And yet, that's exactly what we see in the world today by those who claim to have a direct revelation from God. Now, in our study this morning, I wish to determine, when are we led by the Spirit? What do the Scriptures say with reference to this important and much misunderstood question? In Hebrews 4:12, we read, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." The inspired writer calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. It's the instrument which the Spirit uses to accomplish His mission or His work. Let me illustrate this way, a simple illustration. A man uses an axe to cut down the tree, but it is the axe that actually hits and cuts down the tree. The axe is the means by which the man cut down the tree. The axe has no power or energy of itself. You have never seen an axe jump up by itself and cut down a tree, have you? Neither can the man cut down the tree without the axe or some other instrument being used. We might say, the man cut down the tree. Another might say, the tree was cut down by the axe. Now, both statements are true, for it was the man who cut down the tree using the axe to transmit his energy or power to the cutting down of the tree. Now, in the same way, the Holy Spirit works upon the human spirit in conversion, but He does His work through the medium of the Word, which is His instrument. So we can say one is converted, he or she was converted by the Holy Spirit. We can also say that he or she was converted by the Word. The Spirit uses the Word to convert mankind unto Christ. It is through the message or words of the Spirit that men come to know God, to love, and to obey Christ Jesus. Now let's notice just here, as there is no direct impact between the man and the tree. Neither is there any direct impact between the Spirit and the human heart. Conversion is brought about by means of the Word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 6:17. "And take the helmet of salvation," and watch it now, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." No, my friends, man is not converted by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, separate and apart of the revealed truth of God's Word. When man is converted to Christ, it will be through and by the teaching and belief in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Remember, Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Isn't it good each scripture agrees with all the other scriptures? There is no scripture that differs with any other scripture. And by scripture, I mean the Word of God that we call the Bible. You see, when the Holy Spirit spoke, He agreed with everything else that He had spoken. He didn't say one thing to one person and something entirely different to another person. And yet, this is exactly what we see today in the lives of those who claim to have a direct revelation from God, a revelation separate and distinct from the revealed truth of God's Word. Every influence which the Scriptures assert to be exercised upon us, is also affirmed by the Scriptures to be done by the Word. In every instance, that which the Spirit is said to do to us, the Word in other places is said to accomplish the same result. Is this to say the Spirit and the Word are the same? Why, no. It is to say that the manner in which the Spirit operates on sinners and saints alike is by means of the Word. There are many examples of this, but I'm going to just mention two. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, it says, "No man can say Jesus is Lord but by or in the Holy Spirit." Yet, let's notice the language of John 20, 30 and 31. "Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name." Do these two verses contradict each other? No, 1,000 times no. How may we know that Jesus is Lord? Paul says, by the Holy Spirit. John, what do you say about this? It is through the written word. Do they contradict? No, of course not. They are saying the same thing. The deity of our Lord is established by the testimony of the Holy Spirit through the inspired writers. So the Holy Spirit, through the word, makes known the deity of Christ Jesus. And in no other way might this information be learned or known. If the Holy Spirit came down and in some miraculous way revealed some truth about Jesus Christ, what would he say that had not already been said by those inspired writers of the first century? Our second example of this, and I want you to notice Ephesians 5:18 and 19, and read along with me. "And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Now the words "be filled" in this passage involve not a promise, but a command. Did you get that? Not a promise, but a command. A command makes it imperative, something which the individual must do. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. How is this done? Well, let's read Colossians 3:16. And there we find, "Let the word of Christ rule or dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, in the passage we read from Ephesians 5:18, we're admonished to be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians 3:16, we're told by the same apostle and an identical passage to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How then may we obey the command, be filled with the Spirit? Simply by allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Is this to say that the word and the Spirit are the same? By no means. It is to say that the manner in which the Spirit leads and guides and directs and dwells in us is by the means of and through the Word. As a man could not cut down the tree without using the axe, so the Spirit cannot dwell in our hearts without the use of the Word. Remember, the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit is leading us when we follow the message of inspiration which He gave. In no other way does the Holy Spirit guide mankind today. Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Romans 8 and 14. The obvious meaning of this statement is that the evidence of sonship to God is to be seen in a life dominated by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. But only those who faithfully follow the teaching of the New Testament are faithful children of God. Therefore, the manner in which the Spirit leads us as sons of God is by means of the teaching of the New Testament, the Bible, which the Holy Spirit gave unto us. It then follows that when one yields one's life to the Word of Truth, that one is submitting to the Holy Spirit who provided the Word, since the Word is the Spirit's message to man. To obey that word is to obey the Spirit. To reject that word is to reject the Spirit. How is one led by the Spirit? By following the revealed truth of the gospel, the word of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an illustration just here. We see a sun in a distant land, and he received a letter from his father containing instructions which he desires his son to discharge. The letter becomes the instrument through which the father influences his son. The son, by obeying the instructions set in the letter, is led in the matter by his father. The son, by rejecting the instructions, rebels against his father. Well, the letter is the instrument through which the father influences son. And can we see that? So it is of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is the letter which the Holy Spirit gave us. When we follow it, we're following the Spirit. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. To reject it is to reject the Spirit who gave it. And may I emphasize this point strongly. In no other way does the Spirit lead us. Every influence that comes upon us by the Spirit, every blessing which the Spirit bestows, every spiritual need heaped upon us from the time we first heard the gospel until we die, comes through faithful obedience to the word which the Spirit gave, and not through an operation apart from and independent of that word. The message is the same for each person. God does not give one direction to one person and something different to another. All have the same message. And that message is found in the New Testament, in the book we call the Bible. The Holy Spirit strengthens, Ephesians 3:16. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. The Holy Spirit saves, Titus 3 and 5. The Holy Spirit justifies, 1 Timothy 3:16. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us, Hebrews 10 and 15. The Holy Spirit prompts us to love, Romans 8 and 16. The Holy Spirit does all of these things by means of the word of truth, his instrument. He strengthens us by providing the whole armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. The Holy Spirit sanctifies by truth, which is God's word, John 17, 17. The Holy Spirit saves by supplying the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, James 1 and 21. The Holy Spirit justifies by faith, which comes by hearing God's word, Romans 5 and 1, Romans 10 and 17. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us by the scriptures which testify of Christ, John 5 and 39. The Holy Spirit leads us by providing a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, Psalms 119 and 105. All that we know about how to live the life of a Christian is set forth in the New Testament. God's revelation through the Holy Spirit. My friends in this radio audience, there is simply no directive the child of God needs which has not been supplied by and through the Word of God, the Word of the Spirit. We're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. By being rooted and builded up in Him, and the Word of God is fully able to accomplish this, Colossians 2 and 7. And so the Spirit strengthens by means of the Word which He gave. Jehovah God did not leave mankind to flounder about without any instructions, without any information from Him. He has spoken as the Holy Spirit revealed His message through those inspired men in the first century, and that word continues to be able to furnish us into every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I see that our time has escaped us. Lord willing, we'll continue this important and needed subject of the Holy Spirit next week. In fact, we may be at least two more lessons on this subject before we leave the study of the Holy Spirit, because I want to discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit to determine whether or not the gifts of the first century are still needed today. So I invite you to tune in to the Seeds of Truth next Saturday morning at 9:45. And remember, the Rivermont Church of Christ meets at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. We meet at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock for a morning Bible study and worship. We meet at 6 p.m. For Sunday evening worship, and on Wednesday night at 7:30 for Bible class. We invite you to come and be with us. Our phone number is area code 804-530-1764. And until next time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.